Click kaya959.co.za
to download the Kaya Biz podcast.
Helping you secure your future is brought to you by Alan Gray. Alan Gray is 50 years of long-term investing. Alan Gray is an authorized financial services provider.
Kaya Biz.
Business is business, so you gotta pay me.
With Google Tumfupi.
When you listen to the show every afternoon and evening, just after 6 o'clock, you'd hear me talk about the markets. And for the last few weeks, I've been talking about the all-time highs that we've been clenching, not only on the JSE All Share Index, but even on the international stock markets, largely in the US, even all the way up to Europe, and interesting moves we've also seen with gold. But what does this mean when the equity markets do shine? And how else do we actually take advantage of this particular rally? But bearing in mind that we also have long-term factors to contribute and maintain within our investment portfolio. Tim Acker is a portfolio manager at Alan Gray. He joins us now to discuss how best it is that we actively participate in this market rally. Tim, such a pleasure to have you and welcome to the show.
Evening, Google A2, and evening to the listeners. Good to be back.
I am excited to speak to you because I can imagine as a portfolio manager at Alan Gray, looking after the various funds you take care of, it's been an amazing time, you know, to follow through with the positioning and the performance of the stable fund. But outside of that, the last 5 years have really been incredibly spectacular for the South African equities market. We've outperformed key indices, if I'm not mistaken. But maybe we need a gentle reminder and refresher as to what is leading this rally and this charge.
Yeah, definitely. I think that's a good point because for many South Africans, if you tell them the market is making all-time highs, it's probably a bit of a contradiction to what they see around them in their everyday lives and in the economy where things are actually quite tough, right? Yeah. So there are a few factors. If you think back 5 years ago, the market was quite depressed. We were in COVID. Even last year before the election, people were quite negative about the market. So those obviously does help if you start on a low valuation. But actually the biggest factor by far has been precious metals. So the gold and platinum mining shares have done phenomenally well this year. So those have actually driven the market to new highs this year, which has generated a lot of the return.
And maybe let's keep with gold for a second, right? Because we understand that it's a safe haven asset. And for the longest of time, it's been the place where you keep your money when there just seems to be heightened levels of risk in the global market. Is this once again where we find ourselves? And how is that playing an influence in the gold price rally?
That's definitely a factor. So as listeners might know, the gold price is also, you know, at a new high, above $4,000 per ounce. And some of those factors you mentioned are definitely at play. So gold has traditionally been seen as a safe haven asset. So when things are, you know, feeling very uncertain, people look to gold as a stable asset. But, you know, things have been uncertain for quite a while. So one has to ask, you know, what's actually changed? Why is the gold price up 50% this year? And one factor which maybe people don't know about is central banks around the world have actually started buying quite a bit of gold over the last 2, 3, 4 years. And particularly countries like China, who historically didn't own a lot of gold, their central bank, so effectively their government, has decided they would like to own more gold. And that's obviously contributed to the price. And one can speculate, you know, why have they decided that? And I would put forward that maybe part of the reason is they're looking to an alternative to the US dollar and US treasuries, because maybe, you know, as we know, they're not really friends with the US at the moment. So maybe they're a little bit worried about holding the US dollar.
Yeah. Oh, yes. It brings about that whole new argument around the de-dollarization, which I can imagine you and your peers have been engaged in deep conversation in. But when we take a look at, you know, this particular cycle, as you've mentioned, it's different now because central banks are playing an active role in trying to increase their deposits of gold and gold reserves. But when it comes to the equity cycle, what's different this time around, especially when we take a look at gold stocks in South Africa versus the Magnificent Seven in the U.S.?
Yeah, there's lots to unpack there. I think the one thing to just highlight for people is these returns we've seen over the last few years have been unusually high, right? So we know markets are cyclical. They tend to go up over the long term, but within that, there are swings and roundabouts, right? And over the last 5 years, the South African market has actually returned about 18% per annum, so each year, in dollars, which is a phenomenally high return.
Yeah.
And I would caution people to say, you know, you shouldn't expect those kind of returns every year. Obviously, we welcome them and they're great when they happen, but they are unusually high. So that is the one thing I would say. The other thing is, I guess for quite a while, we've been used to South Africa underperforming. So we always think about, you know, you mentioned the Magnificent Seven and the US technology stocks, and they're flying and SA is sort of lagging behind. We actually now we've had a bit of a reversal.
Got you. No problem. Let's maintain this, Tim. I do see our next guest is on the line, so we're just noting that. But Tim, if we continue with this conversation, and as you say, take into account the different factors that are driving the market performance, we love the all-time highs. There's nothing more exciting than seeing green charts, big numbers, and recording new figures in terms of the price of commodities or equities, and also reaping those benefits from increased dividends. But that's also us being very emotive, right? Because sometimes greed tends to take over, and when the markets are rallying, we want to plow more capital into these investments. How do we need to manage that dynamic?
Definitely, it's a good point you raise, Gugu. So I think for all of us, when you're investing and you're involved in markets, your own emotions can actually be your biggest enemy. So you have to be extremely careful. It's only natural that when things are going up, we get very excited, and the natural thing is to chase performance. So if you're hearing about gold doing well, you might think, like, shouldn't I put some money into gold now? That's the place, you know, that's sort of exciting. But that can be dangerous, right? Often if you follow that approach, you're coming to the party a little bit too late, right? When the profit has already been made. And similar with markets that have done well, there's a similar risk there. But the converse is also true. So one should also be careful of saying, you know, just because markets are up a lot, you know, I should take out my money now and put it in the bank and go somewhere safe. It's not to say that there are not more gains left to come. So a better approach, I think, for many people is rather take a long-term approach. It's extremely difficult to try and time the market. No one knows exactly, you know, when we at a top and when we due for a correction. Yeah. So for most people, it's better to try and take a long-term approach and rather than trying to chop and change.
100%. And this is why one needs an investment strategy, right? So that regardless of whether the markets are up or down, there's volatility or there's calm, political shifts or none, you're able to reap the long-term gains that you want to have. And maybe this gives us an opportunity to talk about one of the funds that you manage as a portfolio manager. That's the Allan Gray Stable Fund. I've got your fun fact sheet open up in front of me here, and I do see it's really diverse in terms of exposure and diversification, not only to various asset classes, but even the companies that make up your top 10 shareholdings as of the 30th of September. A few gold counters, so we're glad Anglo Gold Ashanti is there, together with Goldfields. And of course, a few industrials like Richemont, AB InBev, Woolworths, Standard Bank and Sasol, just to name a few. I know I'm deep diving into the companies, but maybe if we talk more about the investment philosophy and the investment strategy of the Stable Fund and how this not only takes advantages of the highs, but also protects against the lows of the market.
Yeah, you actually hit on two of the key features of a fund like the Allan Gray Stable Fund. So it really is positioned for conservative investors who don't want to take too much risk, but they still want to participate in the market. Mm-hmm. So at the, you know, at the one extreme, one could say, I'm just going to keep my money in my bank and I know it's going to be safe, but I'm not going to get good returns. And at the more aggressive side, you could say, I'm going to put all my money in the market, and I'm going to have all these ups and downs and enjoy good returns, but it's going to be really scary. And for many people, that's maybe a bit too exciting or a bit too scary. Mm-hmm. So the Allan Gray Stable Fund is a nice sort of middle ground for many investors. As you said, it's extremely diversified. So it's really built to do, you know, reasonably well in most scenarios, but then not leave too much money on the table. So if we do have a year like this year where the markets do really well, the fund can still participate in that rally in the market. So only about a quarter of the fund would be invested in stocks.
Yes.
So exposed to these ups and downs. And then there's a little bit of foreign exposure and a sort of a diversified set of stocks. And then and a collection of bonds and cash. So really quite diversified, with the aim to do better than cash without taking too much risk.
You're quite right. And I think that's also important to note, because that exposure to bonds, about 34%, if I'm not mistaken, of the portfolio, also adding to the protection and preservation of capital over the long term. And I perhaps this is also important for us to underscore the reason why it's important for us to work with professionals like yourself. It's one thing to listen to me talk about the markets. It's one thing to read the headlines in the business articles and stories of the day. But for one to adequately know how to navigate market dynamics is always tricky ground. And every year there's a new theme. Last year it was all about inflation. Then it was about the geopolitics. Then it was the pandemic before that. We can go on and on about the factors we need to consider. But maybe this is a gentle way of reminding us why it is that we need to invest with active asset managers during cycles such as the one that we're experiencing now, but even when the markets aren't too great.
Yeah, it might be surprising for some people, but actually when there's a lot of uncertainty or risks and we hear about tariffs and volatility and all these, you know, things happening in the world, that's actually good news for us, right? We actually like that because it creates opportunity. So yes, there are risks, but it also does create opportunity if one is an active manager, as you said. So for sure, there are lots of risks one needs to worry about in the world. You know, for example, we do think global markets are towards the expensive side, but one doesn't have to own the expensive shares, right? Mm-hmm. The best margin of safety you can have is to not overpay for your investments and to rather invest in stocks and other instruments that you think are fairly valued or that are cheap. And that's actually how you can generate good returns without taking too much risk.
100%. Well, 11.6% return yet to date is not bad at all for the Allan Gray Stable Fund. Happy for you to correct me on those numbers, but I see them in the notes here. Well done to you and the team, Tim, and thank you so much for the refresher around how we can take advantage of the highs, but also protect against the lows of the market. Thanks again.
Thank you.
Tim Ecker, Portfolio Manager at Allan Gray, joining us tonight to remind us that sometimes when we talk about all these highs in gold, in Bitcoin, in equities, that sometimes we do need the guidance of professionals, individuals who know that just a few months ago, back in April, the markets were in free fall. Many people were hitting the panic button. And now look at where we are in October, where again, fresh record highs for a number of commodities and equities. So that's very telling that things can change very quickly, especially that's the note and the theme that we've underscored for this year, given the geopolitics that we see and the leadership in the US. A tweet can literally rock the boat quite extensively, especially if it comes from Donald Trump. But share your thoughts with us. 063-688-0959. Happy to hear your views and how you are navigating the investment arena when it comes to the market dynamics at the moment. Also, take a look at your pension funds and do interrogate them just to see what it is you're exposed to, what funds you actually are invested in, and the kind of returns that they're able to bring you through, whether the markets are high and more so when they're low. With over 5 decades of investing experience, Allan Gray remains focused on building long-term wealth for its clients by pursuing long-term returns without taking undue risk. Allan Gray, more than 50 years of long-term investing. Allan Gray is an authorized FSP.
Click kaya959.co.za
to download the Kaya Biz podcast.